Perhaps you've had children, grandchildren. Perhaps you even said it when you were younger. I did. I said these exact words when I was sitting in the back of my father's station wagon going to who knows where, doing who knows what. My question was, are we there yet? He said, no. Must have been a few hours later, which he said was only 10 minutes later. I said, are we there yet? No. And I kept asking. Why? Because I was so young. I was but a child. I didn't understand time. I didn't understand distance. I didn't understand what these things meant, but I just knew. Are we there yet? I need to know. And I wonder if, finally I remember my father turning around. My sister was sitting on, older sister sitting on the side. And he said, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to stop this car. And so me being the little smart aleck I was, anybody use that word anymore? That's my parents, you smart aleck. Never hear it. Yeah, I didn't say it, but I looked at my sister and I said, Dad, he said it again. Well, you know how women are, Jeannie. But I wonder, like my father was tired because I couldn't understand time and distance. Well, what about us? Have you ever asked God, are we there yet? Wait a minute, how would He think of us, because a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to Him? He says it's just been 2 days since the Messiah was killed. Your Savior. When a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. Are we there yet? I'll be going into that in the next few sermons that I have here, because I have fallen in love lately with Daniel 12. And if you will, I'd like you to go there with me. We'll just look at one verse right now, but we'll be going deeper and deeper into that in the coming weeks. Daniel 12, and I'll read from the New King James Version. But you, Daniel, shut up the words. It means shut up. Because he wanted to know, are we there yet? Well, when are we going to get there? And he said, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and what? Knowledge shall increase. Are we there yet? To and fro. You know, yesterday, 2.9 million people just in the United States got on an airplane and flew somewhere. On a weekend, it'll run anywhere between 15 and 20 million people will be flying on an airplane somewhere in this world. At boats. I ran a little slow because of the turnpike today. Don't know why. Our friend from New Hampshire, we can't get rid of you Yankees fast enough, I guess. But what does it mean, to and fro? If you haven't been in an airport in a while, Amp, you just got back to Puerto Rico. Did you have all kinds of seats around you open? You did?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was going to say, everyone I've been on, packed. And they're all in the airport. To and fro. Because this is the sign of the end, the time of the end. So, if that isn't one link to this verse and our time today, how about an article published October the 22nd, 2020 by LinkedIn.com? Metabal Ray wrote this article, and he said, the volume of knowledge is doubling every 12 hours in the world today. Now you say, that's impossible. But how many labs do we have running experiments? How many things do we have? Just people working 24 hours a day, sending it by not only computers, by supercomputers who are calculating all this stuff. It's happening. I when I first read it, I said, how could that be? Because in 1945, guess what? At that time, the amount of knowledge, the volume of knowledge, was doubling every 25 years. 1945 and now. Every 12 hours. Now, how's that tie to us? Well, I think it's interesting because currently the human knowledge, human, that's us. In the United States, your knowledge is doubling every 13 months. So 13 months ago, if you knew where you were, probably here, the amount of knowledge you have put in your brain from computers, from television, from all these gadgets has caused you to double your amount of knowledge. Now, whether you're able to regurgitate it back or not, that's another thing. But this stuff is coming in because there's so much of it. Do you desire to learn more? And if you do, more what? What do you desire to learn? Because it's out there. They were showing just the other day, John Glenn, when he first went up on his space capsule that went around, that my cell phone has more technology than his spaceship did. Where will we be in 10 years? To and fro? Knowledge? Are you a pantomath? Are you a pantomath? A pantomath is a person who wants to know or thinks he knows everything. You ever met any one of those? You might be married to one. Or maybe in the past you were. Think they know everything? It comes from the Greek word meaning having learnt all. Having learnt all. So we're talking about, are we there yet? Well, if you want to know another key, it's in where? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 says what it's going to be like in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There's so many things. But it says in verse 7, 2 Timothy 3, talks about those last days and always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you can have all knowledge. And nothing wrong with having knowledge. That's why we go to college. That's why we read. That's why we study things. But what's it all worth? Because it's predicted in the last days, knowledge will increase. How much more? Proverbs 12, verse 1. In the NIV, said, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. The New King James says instruction. But he who hates correction, and this word is hardly ever used in the Bible, but it is here. Stupid. So do you like correction? Because sometimes learning things, as Bill just pointed out in his sermonette, there's some correction that comes. Reading God's Word, I find, I get correction every day, some way, shape, or form. Either something I didn't do or something I did. So let me ask you a question. Do you like to know stuff? Pantomouth? Perhaps you're a wealth of knowledge. Perhaps a well-read person. I read. Sometimes my wife says too much. But she never takes my books away. Would you be a good future Jeopardy contestant? See? You watch it too. I watch it sometimes because it shows me what I don't know. I had a customer one time. I was over at his house back in Tennessee, Murfreesboro, and he was a pantomath. He pretty much knew everything. And so I was over there one evening watching the guys finish up a job. And Jeopardy came on. And I was standing there talking to him, and it was on. And I said, doesn't that game frustrate you, trying to watch it? And he goes, no, I know most of those. I said, why don't you get on the show then? You can win all kinds of money. Wasting my time. There are people who love to profess to know so much stuff. And that's fine. I've learned a lot from people. I've learned a lot from you guys, even in this room. Various people, and that's the great thing about sharing. But there's some stuff that we can put in this brain that will change our lives. And there's stuff we can learn that we put in our brains and it will change our lives, but not for the better. That's very obvious. Do you know there's a certain way to put the toilet paper on the... Yes? Only one way. And what is that way, Bill?
That's one where the things in the front came.
Comes in the front. Why is that?
Well, because that's the way it was designed. Quick release.
She does it in the back. You let it roll off the front because that's the way it was designed. Does anybody have the truth and nothing but the truth? Yes, Frank. Now, that's a bachelor. According to the experts, it is on the front and rolls off because of hotels. It is a way for, if you walk into a hotel room, a VRBO, any of those, and you have a bathroom, they always have them turn it under on the corners on the front, which tells you that the bathroom has been cleaned.
Yeah.
You do that in your house. Okay, it's a habit. At least I'll know your bathroom is clean when I come over. What does WD-40 stand for? Very good. Displacement? Yes. Very good. Did you know, though, that JB is bigger than JC? That Justin Bieber is Googled more than Jesus Christ? And he has been for the last 7 or 8 years. Matter of fact, he has his own following called Are You a Belieber? Are you a believer? Now, I had to look it up. I've heard of him, saw them on it, but they said, do you know a Justin Bieber song? And I could say, no, I don't. My wife, does anybody here know a Justin Bieber song? No? What's wrong with you people? Don't you know anything? Well, I got on and I didn't recognize any of the songs, but I did play just about 10 seconds of four different songs, and I actually had heard one. I just didn't know it was him. Google. You can find out anything you want to know by just Googling, right? Do you know what the most Googled question was in 2022? So far in the first 5 months. Nope. Might be lately. Nope. Nope. That would have been probably a year ago. What to watch? The most Googled? 9 million per day. On Google. What to watch? You Google what to watch. And then it'll tell you what you should watch. What to watch? I'm sure it will give us. They may want you to watch Justin Bieber and be a believer. Before COVID, Julie, one of those questions that America wanted to know is, why do guys have nipples? Yep. One of the other top ones. In 2019, why do dogs lick themselves? Another one, why do dogs eat grass? I want to know that. But Dave and Diane, do you know in 2019, really before COVID, what the most Googled question from Tennessee being you? We don't have anybody else here from Tennessee, do we? Just you two? Do you know what the most Googled question, because you can look it up on every state. Do you know what Tennessee was? And it wasn't, how do I marry my cousin? I'm from Tennessee, so I can say that. Do what? No? The question from Tennessee that people wanted to know, why do fireflies glow? It's in Tennessee. Do you know what Florida was, being many of you are Floridians?
Why do we have love bugs?
Love bugs, yes, seen that. No? I think it's a very it shows something, because I looked at quite a few different states I'd been in, Alabama, Hawaii, various ones. And Florida was unique. The most Googled question 2019 from Florida is, why am I alone? Why am I alone? Another one was, why do I feel alone? Did you know that William Shakespeare invented the word assassination? It didn't exist before that time. As a matter of fact, William Shakespeare created 1,700 words that were not in the English language before his time. So what's in your gray matter? Stuff. What do you want to know, and why do you want to know it? Is that important? I hope we can look at things that way. But that's all great, but what does the good book say about knowing everything or having all knowledge? Can we go there? I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Probably know where I'm going, but I'll read it from the New Living Translation. You have from the New King James. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not have love, but I did not love others, I would be nothing. So, God doesn't hold knowledge up as much as this world does. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 8:1, God tells us that knowledge puffs up. You got any puffed up? Most of us do. A little puffed up about that. And sometimes we want to say, you remember there used to be a TV show, I don't know, it's been 20 years ago, called Cheers. Everybody see Cheers, and there's a bar, and everybody. And they had a character named Cliff Clavin. They came in and would just quote all this stuff all the time. And found out he made half of it up and all this kind of stuff. But he just loved to, he was puffed up. As a matter of fact, I've had it more than once in a lifetime. Now, my wife's not listening to this. I would come home and tell her something, and I start telling her, and she goes, "Tell me, Cliff Clavin." Paul ran into that. As a matter of fact, he's talking to the Corinthians. And because Corinth was the largest population in Greece at that time, and they were the city to go to, they were the happening place. And the majority of the people who lived in Corinth were Greeks, but people would travel all over to come to Corinth because it was a debauched city. It had everything you could want and everything you didn't need. Interesting, as I was thinking, because I was thinking about George DeSarnas. He's a man I met. He had a business behind mine back in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He went in business same year I did. He had a Greek restaurant, and he was Greek, very much Greek. He could speak English. And the restaurant was called the Parthenon. I don't know if you guys ever, you remember the Parthenon? Well, it was George and Tula that ran that. And I got to spending time with him because I did some work for him and would eat over at his restaurant. And I remember we were sitting at the bar one evening, and he said, "Try some of my wine. I just had it shipped in from Greece." He lived outside of Athens. He had a home there, had vineyards, had olive trees, and he would sell his stuff there. So he wanted me to try his wine. He said, "I don't sell my wine. I just keep it for our home." But so he gave me a glass. And then he was bragging him up. Greece. I've never been to Greece. Anybody here been to Greece? Oh, well, man, quite a few of you. He had to tell me how great Greece was. And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to go sometime. We'll go over and meet us there." Yeah, that never happened. But he kept telling me the great history of Greece from his perspective. And he said, "Do you know that if Alexander the Great had not died so young, that you and I would be sitting right here today speaking Greek? Because he would have conquered the entire world. And everyone would have been speaking Greek." And I said, "But I understand that he added the Greek language, but he didn't take your own language away, if I remember my history." "Trivial matters," he said. Athens was the cultural center of the universe at Paul's time. And most people do not realize that Paul, being, he spoke 4 to 5 languages. He understood the Greek culture since he spoke it. Traveled there before, obviously. But he also knew the philosophies of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Epicurus, and Zeno. And so here he has the opportunity to go to Athens. The only thing that was different here was this was not Athens at its heyday when he came. It was Corinth. Because Athens used to be the capital. It was everything. But it was still called the learning center. It's where you went to philosophize and to talk. The city at Paul's time, according to the historians, was only 10,000 people living there at the time. The other amazing fact is they had over 30,000 gods and idols around the city and through the city. 10,000 people, 30,000 idols or gods. And so Paul was invited because of his different philosophy as he came into this. He was invited to the pinnacle of learning, the Areopagus. It was a hill. Romans called it Mars Hill. The Greeks called it Areopagus. Ares after the god of war. Pegasus after a mountain or a hill. So he was invited to this place. So let's read this story, a short story here, and see how Paul ran into Greeks. So let's go to, so where will I be reading this from? Acts. Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17. Acts 17, let's read verse 17 through 23. In verse 16, you can read that Paul waited for them at Athens, so he was there basically by himself, waiting for his partners to join him. And so verse 17, he said, "Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews," so there were some Jews there, "and with the Gentile worshipers." You think they were worshiping with the Jews? No, they weren't allowed to do that. So he had to be, what? Reasoning with the worshipers where they were. "And in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." So what was he doing? He was talking. Talk about an extrovert. But of course he could speak the language. And he was a very educated man. And that's all they really wanted to talk to. People was educated. Let's read this. "Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him." Epicureans were those who followed Epicurus, a philosopher from a few hundred years before. "For if you Epicureans believe that the foundation of knowledge and everything you needed to know advocated pursuing pleasures." You may hear somebody say, "Oh, they have an Epicurean lifestyle." It means they eat, they drink, they party, they do whatever they want to do. If it's pleasurable, that's the meaning of life. That's all there is. Go out and do it. And so that was a large group of Athenians at the time. The others were Stoics. And Stoics taught self-control. They actually taught that, or their philosophy was that the greatest virtue in the world is the highest good based on knowledge. That everything you needed to know, you would get from knowledge. But you had to have discipline and self-control, which was the opposite of Epicureans. So here Paul was being thrown in the middle of these two thoughts. "And some said to others," in verse 18, "what does this babbler," doesn't sound like he had a lot of respect, "what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of false foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection," which would have blown their little minds, because gods don't die unless another god killed them, and wait a minute, and resurrected and what? And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. It's all about knowing, isn't it? For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing or knowledge. Can you imagine walking into there? Back in Tennessee, we had, I lived in a little town of Milton, 100 people. But all through Tennessee, as it was in Alabama, it was in various places. In the country, you had towns every 5 miles apart because everybody could walk, you know, and they'd been there for 100, 200 years. But everybody could walk kind of to the town, and everybody had a country store. We had one. And sold bread and gasoline, but it was just country store. It had rocking chairs on the front and so forth. Just kind of like Cracker Barrel, but, you know, not that fancy or anything, just an old store. But one of the things they always had in the three towns nearest me, I would always go to the stores, and I would always see these guys sitting on the front porch in their rocking chairs. And they were like these guys, philosophizing. They didn't really do any work. They were there for 20, 30 years when I was there, and I never saw them do any work. They just talk about how everybody else was doing things wrong. Which makes me wonder if this isn't what Paul was confronting here. Let's go and finish this story. And verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst. Stood in the midst. Areopagus, and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Which they would have gone, yes, we are. For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim him to you. And then I'll let you go ahead and read that for the sake of time. But you go down to verse 32, and it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, it said, some men joined him and believed. And they were people of influence. Now, what happened after that? I couldn't find where Paul wrote a letter to the Athenians. Did you? Colossae, Thessalonica, Galatia, Corinth. Do you think anything took off in Athens other than just a few people here that were interested? No. No. Because you had the Stoics and you had the Epicureans, the major ones that the Bible even lays out for us who they were. Two extremes. But don't we have that today in our country? I looked it up. Gallup poll. Just the last one done last month. Okay? That finished 2021. 28% of Americans from this Gallup poll consider themselves Republicans or conservatives. 30% consider themselves Democrats or liberal. 42% of Americans consider themselves independents. I found. Strange, you never hear that. News channels never get any of that. So we haven't gone as far as the Greeks yet, where the majority of people are Stoics or Epicureans. But there are a variety of thoughts there, aren't there? A large divide. So what did Paul gain from going to Athens? from historical accounts, nothing really. Other than a witness, yes. Other than having it written down for us, which obviously Luke did. So obviously Paul told Luke about this. Because it tells us one very good thing. That is, Paul made the main thing the main thing. He didn't waste his time in Athens. Brethren, your time on earth is short. My time on earth is short. James actually said, the half-brother of Jesus Christ said, life is like a vapor, a fog, a mist. It's here and then it's gone. We don't have much of this here. Do you have much of this here? Do you have it out by the farm? You have that here? I hardly ever have it down where I'm at. Now, back in Tennessee, we would get up in the mornings. There'd fog a lot of mornings in the spring and in the fall. But I never get this down. I guess Dade and Broward don't allow it in their... I don't think you want me calling you when I get up. Because even my wife goes, why are you up? I said, I'm up. I don't need an alarm. I'm up at 4:30 to 5. This morning it was 4:22. I don't need an alarm. It's just, that's me. So I would like to see some fog. Maybe I'll try sometime. But he says life is like a vapor, a mist. Any of you that's gone through this, you would find it's gone. When the sun comes up, a little more, and it takes it away. Go with me to Psalm. I'm going to do the New Living Translation. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Because I think this is such a good lesson for us. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. We don't have very many young people in here today. I don't think we have any. I don't know. Who's the youngest in here? You probably don't want to say. I guess it is. David. Diane, you're the baby? I don't know. Think about it. Do you remember 40 years ago? I can like that. I'm 63. I knew exactly what I was doing at 23. Chasing some blonde that I ended up marrying. But think about it. This is so true, but nobody could tell me back then. And nobody, my younger nephews that just got married, I tell them, man, you know, do this, because life is... Ah! Got forever. Right? But here, this is inspired word to us. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us are but a what? Breath. You see why it's important what we put in up here now? Psalm 144 said that life is like a breath of air. That breath of air is gone now. In here, in my lungs. The older we get, the more we understand this. It's too bad I didn't understand this. And my father trying to tell me, my mother trying to tell me, all these people trying to tell me. Yeah, it's just, you're going to turn around and it's... What if God has to turn us around and say, I told you. I told you what knowledge was important. And you decided you knew better than I did. I don't want that happening to me. But I love knowledge. Man, I love YouTube. I'll get on there and see this stuff. Love Google News, and I can get world news. I can get Trinidad news. I can get St. Lucia news. I can get all this stuff. I can get all this stuff. And the problem is, when I do get the stuff, other stuff gets in the way. Because I go look at this, and then something pops up over here, and I go over there. Next thing you know, 2 hours later, I'm going, where am I? And I can't. I don't believe I'm the only one. Because it's set up that way. And that is truly sad. So what do you want to invest your vapor in, brethren? Maybe you want to argue with someone that you can't change their mind and it doesn't matter what you say or do. Maybe heaping upon yourself the greatest theories in the world. You want to dig into string theory, the quantum theory. You want to study about black holes? I studied about black holes this week. Just because they had some sound that was coming first time from a black hole. What it actually sent. Did anybody see that this week? See, you didn't look long enough. You didn't want knowledge. Someday I'm going to be up and I don't have to listen to a video. I'll know what a black hole is. But I wanted to hear, wait a minute, there's sound coming from a black hole? Is it that strange, eerie sound? Star Trek before it was even known. Christ, I think, said it best to us, and we all know it. Matthew 6:33. I like what the New Living Translation says. Seek the kingdom above all. All else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. That's some pretty good knowledge. We're on this highway called life. What are we going to do with it? We're going to be able to pick up incredible knowledge. What about righteous knowledge? How about that guy? His personal philosophy. I wrote it down because I have to remember that as myself. It's in my office. Because I want to get off on exit ramps way too much. And the road I'm on is going to take me to the kingdom. Why do I want to waste my time looking for a Stuckey's? Remember those Stuckey's? You know, we'd get off for if you got 10 gallons of gas, you got some cheap old candy, whatever it was. My dad had a Volkswagen, so we'd have to get down to the very bottom to even get 10 gallons in it. What was it? Pecan rolls. Oh, no. Oh, you guys were rich. We got that pecan brittle. Hard stuff you break your teeth off on. Except we were thinking, oh, man, this is great. It's free. Yeah. Life is too short to waste it going down exit ramps. There were incredible minds at the time of Christ. I wonder how many of those incredible minds didn't waste their time with Him. How many of those incredible minds thought they didn't need Him? Thou, just some religious nut. I'm about out of time. Go with me to Luke. Finish this up. Luke 20. Verse 20 through 26. I love this scene. I just picture it in my mind. At time of Christ. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders, who? Those knowledgeable guys that didn't need Christ. Sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so that he would arrest Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right. Well, why were they? And you are not influenced by what others think. Doesn't that tell what we need to be? You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? He saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin whose picture is title was stamped on it. They said, well, Caesar's. Well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what it belongs to God. So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer and they became silent. That's not was my intention of saying that other than what he said. We have to remember to render to God what is God's. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He said, feed it. He said, my words are spirit. Are we going to do it? So when we don't render to God what is God, who are we rendering and what are we rendering? Only you can answer that. So we must search daily for the things of the kingdom of God and of the things of righteousness. Go to the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, one of my favorite. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. I've quoted many times and you will always hear me quoted at the Feast of Tabernacles. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, you probably all know. But I want to go down and drop down to, not I have seen or near heard, but I'd like to go down to 10. And this is from you got the New King James Version. Okay, let me go there. That's what I asked for. Well, why'd you give me what I asked for? All right, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm reading 3. Thank you. Thank you. I was wondering, I just knew Jeff messed up, but he did. It was your pastor. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Remember the word stupid? Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Why? We're not going to be judged by anyone but Christ. We're judged by the Word, by how we keep it. So no man can judge us. No one can say, you're going to the wrong your church on the wrong day. You're stupid. No. They can say it. But we're not concerned with it. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have that incredible mind. And how wonderful is that? Wrap this up with David Grabe. David Grabe wrote this and said, our minds will feed itself on something. If we pass over the truth for something that may not be altogether wrong, but it is not actually spiritually nurturing, over time we will become spiritually weak. It's kind of the food we eat. You keep eating junk food, may not come to bear for a decade, but it will come to bear. We will become spiritually weak and unable to resist as our minds get full of random stuff that just gets cluttered over time. So where will your mind be this week? Better question. What will your mind be on this week? We have the mind of Christ. What do you think His mind would be on this week?